Let's read these verses together. I'll pray and then we will begin. Verse 22 of James chapter 1. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that we can come before you, that we can come as your children, that we can come and worship and glorify your name. We know you are worthy of all these things. We know that you deserve all of our praise, all of our worship. You deserve all the glory. Father, we thank you that we can come and we can hear a little bit about who you are, hear a little bit about how we are to act as we live under your rule, under your reign, and how as we live as your children. Father, please guide me as I preach your word. Help me to communicate your thoughts and help us all to hear from you through your spirit. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now you all know the saying that when the going gets tough, the tough get going. And of course, we like to think that we are the tough ones in our own fields, right? That mountain that we climb shows how adventurous we are. That load of wood that we were able to chop shows how strong we are. That riddle that you were able to solve shows how clever you are. That garment you were able to sew shows how skilled you are. Whatever the realm is, whatever your area of expertise, tough times, challenges, draws a line between those who persevere and those who give up. It draws a line between the tough and the weak, as it were. Now, many of us are all too happy to be considered weak in certain fields. We have no intention of getting going when the going gets tough. We're happy to say, when the going gets tough, I go fishing, just like I saw on a bumper sticker. But there is a field, there is an area of expertise that we are all called to get going, even when the going gets tough. And in light of this passage that we've just read, in light of this portion of Scripture, I want to change this saying a little. And instead of saying, when the going gets tough, the tough get going, I want us to think about it in this way, that when the doing of the word gets tough, the doer of the word gets going. When the doing of the word gets tough, the doer of the word gets going. And this is really going to be the main thought, the main idea in this passage. And we're going to look at this passage by splitting up into three parts. Each part we're going to be asking a question. Firstly, we're going to ask, are you a doer or a hearer only? Secondly, we're going to be asking, do you persevere or do you forget? And thirdly, we're going to ask the question, are you blessed or are you deceived? So let's begin. Let's look at our first section. Are you a doer or a hearer only? And it's key as we approach this text, it's key to remember that James is writing to people who are in the midst of a trial, who are struggling in their lives. Things are getting tough. The future really doesn't look bright for these people. And so even as we start to think about this passage, think of these words from James in light of your own trials that you're facing, in light of your own pain that you're bearing, in light of the grief that you're experiencing, the uncertainties that are before you, the objects of anxiety that you know will cross your path right here and in the future. And so up to this point, James has given us various instructions, right, to those who are facing trials. And each instruction, each time, it's pushing back against our natural response. Each time, pointing us away what we would normally do and pointing our eyes to God. Each time, helping us see who we are and who God is and what God is trying to do in these trials. Think back about what's already been covered. We were told to rejoice because of what God is doing in us through the trials. We were told to turn to God in prayer and ask for wisdom in the midst of the trial. We're told to rely on God, not on money or material waste that material wealth that will just disappear. We've been told to take responsibility for our own sinful desires, not blaming the righteous God when we sin, or anyone else for that matter. We're told not to deceive ourselves about the goodness of God in the midst of the trial. And we are to be slow to anger and quick to listen, even when the trial makes that the very last thing that we would like to do. Because we're to focus on God's righteousness and try and bring about God's righteousness in our lives. And all of these things aren't natural to us, right? These are not the natural things that we would be doing in the trial. But as we saw last week, something has changed. We're no longer mere humans, mere natural humans, as it were. The Word has been implanted into us. We have been brought from death to life. We are changed, and now we're able to see, we're able to love God in the midst of the trial and in the midst of our life. That's what we can see that in verse 21. Notice that in verse 21. Last week we saw that we are to receive with meekness the Word that is implanted in us. There's something that's happened to us. Something has changed already in our hearts. And in these few verses, verse 22 to 25, James elaborates on what it means to receive the Word with meekness. And so in verse 22 we read, "But be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." First, let's just be clear about what we mean by being a doer of the Word and what we don't mean. For one, and this is really important, it does not mean that we are to constantly be doing Christian actions. That's not what James is getting at. This is not a command to be busy. It's not a command to fill our schedule with a whole bunch of Christian things. The emphasis here is actually on who you are rather than what you do. The key verb is be. We are to be doers of the Word. And so the doers of the Word is the descriptive noun. That's the thing that we are. We are to be doers of the Word. We are to be Word doers. Or you could say we are to be people of the book. It's an easier way to think about it. A doer of the Word is not someone who simply does Christian things. A doer of the Word is someone who's characterized by living out the Bible in all of their life. And it includes all of the person, their belief, their desires, their thoughts, and yes, their actions as well. Think about the difference between a person who does some building compared to a builder. Now, a builder, he believes, he thinks, he desires, and he acts in certain ways that only a builder does those things. And you can see it in the way that they analyze every building and their whole demeanor. They're keen to get things done. They're always ready to help and get this project on the way. And it's also with good reason that we can generalize the saying that a builder's home is never finished because they're always keen to get something done. So being a builder will affect every part of your life. But if I, for example, were to build a deck or to do a bit of a carpentry work, that doesn't make me a builder because I do a bit of building work. And so when James says, be a doer of the Word, he is calling people to let the Word of God take effect in every part of their lives, in every portion of their being. He is calling people to be a certain kind of person, not simply to do certain kind of things. And so he is, but he is calling for radical obedience, though. Radical obedience that begins in our belief, that flows into our desires, that informs our thoughts and directs our actions. And so, yes, being a doer of the Word includes actions, certainly, but includes much more than that. It's an obedience to the Word of God that involves us as a complete person. It describes a radically different person, one who has been brought from life to death and one who has the Word implanted in them. And of course, there's nothing passive about being Word doers. And it begins that begins with hearing the Word of God, studying it, and meditating on it. Some believe, they look at verse 21, and they believe that since we have the Word written in our hearts, since it's been implanted within us, this means that we do not need to study. We don't need to meditate and sit under the preached Word. But this is far from the truth. We are to be hearers of the Word, but not hearers only. Not hearers only. In the same way that to be a builder, you need to be taught about building work. So to be a doer of the Word, you must hear it. But that is just the first step. Being a hearer only would be like being an auditor in class. They sit there, they hear the words that the teacher is saying, they process the content that's being taught, but it's going in one ear and out the other. If they only care for their auditing work, the manner, maybe the style of the teacher. They have no assignments to submit, no tests to sit, and no use for this knowledge that's being taught. They are hearers only. We, on the other hand, are to hear God's word and let that affect our belief, let that affect our desires, our thoughts, and our actions. And so being doers of the word is a relevant command to us, each and every one of us today. But let this verse also be an encouragement in the areas that you are faithfully putting God's word into practice in your life throughout the week and in the weeks to come. And in the decisions that you've already made, you've been doers of the word. For example, being a doer of the word for a husband means to lead his family well. It means taking responsibility and initiating as thing needs to happen. It means leading sacrificially, putting his own desires last and the good of his wife and his children first. It means taking responsibility to discipline and disciple his children as God requires of him. And similarly, being doers of the word for wives and mothers, when you are caring for your children, when you feel like the task of disciplining and discipling your children is endless, when you're submitting and supporting your husband, know that you are being doers of the word. Know that you are persevering and not being mere listeners in these things. And those are just some examples. All of us are doers of the word as we show love, as we choose joy in the circumstance, as you live in peace, as you show patience, as you show kindness. And so in a way, there's nothing extravagant, there's nothing extraordinary about this command. We're to obey Christ. We're to obey our Lord. But when we are in the midst of the trial, when things are tough, you will be all the more tempted to be hearers only and not doers. And as we've seen, there is a radical difference between being a doer and a hearer only. And James highlights this difference further in the actions or in the outworkings of the thing. One perseveres and the other forgets. And this brings us to our second point. Do you persevere or do you forget? And James here uses the famous illustration of the mirror to show us what one who hears only is like, as we read in verse 23. Look at verse 23. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. You can picture the scenario James is painting for us. You wake up, you get out of bed, you look at yourself in the mirror while you're brushing your teeth, and you wonder, who is that staring back at me? With your hair in a mess and sleep in your eyes. Then you get out of the bathroom, you go to the kitchen, make yourself a coffee, you do your devotions, you have some breakfast. Before you know it, time's swept away, you're out the door to church or to work, and you've completely forgotten what you look like. And have done nothing about it. That described me anyway, before I got married. That is what those who hear only, is like. They may see the problem staring right back at them, but they immediately forget it and do nothing about it. They may hear the word preached. They may hear the word read. They may even read it themselves. But as the word reveals things about themselves and about God, it's in one ear and out the other. Their belief, their desires, their thoughts and actions are not affected by what they hear. In verse 25, James gives us the contrast. He says, "But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." And so the language of looking into a mirror is still there. We have a person who's looking into God's word, and instead of forgetting, this time they persevere. He hears the words, listens attentively, and lets the word frame his beliefs. He or she lets the word inform his desires. Lets the word seep into all of his thoughts. And of course, the actions become directed by those thoughts and desires. And to persevere is to hold fast to principles and choices the word has informed us, and to persevere in them, even when you may not feel like it. You may not even be able to remember how the word convinced you that this was the right choice. But you know that it is, and you persevere in that. Even when the trials make it difficult. Even when it costs you more than you originally thought. Even when it hurts. Even when the going gets tough. The doer of the word perseveres. For example, what do you believe God is like? Right here, as we gather together, as the people of God, and we sing together in this building dedicated for that, it's easy to say that God is good, God is kind, God is wise. We're quick to affirm it. But what about on Monday morning at 10:30, when your workmates are making fun of Christianity, and you're right there with them? Or what about in the middle of Tuesday night, when the baby wakes you up for the fifth time and you're at your wit's end? It's in those moments that we need to heed James and persevere and remember that even in those moments, God is good and kind and wise. Well, what do you believe about yourselves? The word of God shows us truly who we are. We are sinners who God is transforming. As James has just been explaining previously in his letter, he says we are filthy and wicked. We still have these evil desires that need to be changing. And if we're not careful, our words that we speak do more harm than good. Yet how quick are we to forget that? How quick are we to believe that we have arrived and everyone should quickly catch up? How quick we are to say that whatever comes to our mind without second thought. How slow we are to ask for forgiveness, and even slower to give forgiveness. In this too, let us heed James's word to persevere. As the mirror of God's word shows us our sin, let us be quick to deal with it, quick to confess and repent. Our Savior promises that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. Friends, as the word shows us the goodness of God, the holiness of God, and also as the word shows us our own sinfulness, let us persevere, let us continue to turn to our Savior and ask for forgiveness. He promises, he gives us his word to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if you have not yet done that, if you have not yet trusted in Christ, if you have not yet asked Jesus to take care of your sins, if you still feel that weight of guilt and shame of sin in your life, if you still feel that filth of sin in your heart, if you have yet to experience the freedom and the peace of being forgiven by God, if you have yet to trust in Jesus as your Savior and Lord, today is a good day to do that. He promises to pay for your sins if you would trust him and follow him. If you would cling to him as the only one who can save you. The gift is presented to you. It's yours if you would but accept it. Friends, we've seen that the doer perseveres, but the hearer forgets. And in a way, these things describe a journey. There is a destination for both parties. And this brings us to our final portion. Are you blessed or deceived? Are you blessed or deceived? You would have noticed in verse 22 that James warned us not to be hearers only, and so deceive ourselves. Those who are hearers only think they are right with God, when that is not the case. To say you're a Christian is meaningless if you're not shaped by the Word. This is a dead faith. Your actions will reflect what's taken place in your heart. Your actions will reflect who you are. If you're a hearer only, then you are deceiving yourself. You're like that ostrich with its head in the sand, thinking there is no danger, only to make an easy prey. The word that we have for deceiving ourselves in the text also carries this idea of defrauding or cheating yourself. When you're a hearer only, you cheat yourself. You cheat yourself of blessing, of real blessing, of God's blessing. Blessing in this life and after we die. And this blessing comes to the doer of the word. Notice the outcome of the one who does the word in verse 25. What's the outcome? He will be blessed in his doing. And so there is a future component in the being blessed. We look ahead to be welcomed into the house of the Lord and praising and rejoicing in him forever. The doer of the word is blessed because his sins have been forgiven. And he will feast at the table of the King when his time on earth is over. But there is also a present component. Or we could see it as that's the future component that's already begun in our lives. You see, as we let the Word of God transform us, as we seek to obey our Lord and our Savior, as we align ourselves to the will of God, we're aligning ourselves to the very purpose that we were created for. I like how James calls the Word of God the law of liberty. It's a law that gives freedom. As we obey his commands, we are truly free. Real freedom comes from denying our sinful desires, not indulging in them. As we learn what it means to love God and to love our neighbor, we are set free to do just that. And in those things, we find true freedom. God's law frees us to be good husbands. It frees us to be good wives, to be good citizens, to build strong and safe families. It frees us from doing harmful things to ourselves and to others. God's law frees us to find joy, satisfaction, and pleasure that will last truly and will truly satisfy. We can think about it a little bit like playing the piano. A piano can be a great way to express the joy that you might feel or even the grief that you might feel through the music. But if I was to sit at the piano, I would be free to hit the keys. But I don't know any of the rules of music, nor do I have the skills to play them. So I could only make noise and never express that joy or that grief. But if I was to learn the rules of music and apply my hand and practice following the strict instructions and come to understand the music theory, then it would be a different story, right? If I learned these things, then I could freely express myself on the piano. Then I would have true freedom to express my heart, my joy, or my grief. So these rules of music have not hindered me. They've enabled me. And so it is with God's law. You may feel that God's law restricts you, that it stops you from doing what you truly want to do. But in fact, it's the very opposite. For example, you may feel that God's law of not being allowed to have sex outside of marriage is restrictive to your freedom. But that's not true. On the contrary, keeping yourself pure before marriage liberates you to truly enjoy God's good gift. Or you may feel that obeying your parents is hindering you to be all that you could be. But that's not true either. On the contrary, when you're protected from the things that will reduce, you're protected from the things that will reduce your potential. You may think today that a police record is a laughing matter, but your parents want to spare you from that and to enable you to truly explore your full potential. And the list could go on for all of God's laws. We may not always understand how the law is setting us free, but often we can if we humbly ask and study God's word. But sometimes we must simply trust God, trusting that He knows best. He knows what true freedom looks like. But also remember that God's blessings are sometimes different to what we might imagine. He knows what we need and when we need it. And His agenda, His purposes in the trial specifically, is our sanctification. And His blessing, the good things He brings on us, is to help us become more like Christ. Remember, our present blessing is but a preparation. It's but a foretaste of the future blessing, when we will be fully enabled to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Friends, let's heed James's plea. Let us be doers of the word and not hearers only. Let the word have its effect on your beliefs, on your desires, on your thoughts, and on your actions. And when the going gets tough, let us persevere and not forget. Despite the difficulty and the challenges, let us persevere to be doers of the word. Let these challenges we face allow us to show our true colors. Let the tough times show what we are truly made of, that we are new creatures empowered by the word. And the reward of those who persevere is far greater than people knowing that you are the best mountain climber or the strongest person or the best seamstress. The reward is being blessed by God. Blessed in this life and the life to come. But also blessed in this life as we learn to live for the very purpose we were made for. As we fulfill our ultimate purpose and find true satisfaction as we love God and as we love our neighbor. It's true that times are tough and times will get tougher. But these become opportunities to show how God is transforming us. And so let the saying be true for us, that when the doing of the word gets tough, the doer of the word gets going. Let us pray.